Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Hey, I'm a little man who creeps for the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And lo and behold, we are back. It's Reese on the radio. It's 1 minute after the hour on this March the 26th, 2012. Gone for a couple of days. Took like a little four-day break. But we are finally back. And today might be a very, very interesting show. Particularly because it involves the Trayvon Martin case. And, of course, I'm your host, Reese on Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. We will have a special guest today. At least they've confirmed so far that they are going to be calling in. And that is going to be a member of the New Black Panther Party. Now, I know a little bit about the New Black Panther Party. I've followed them extensively for years. Its members, what it is they do, how they're involved, the controversies. And a new one, of course, has come to light. And we will give them an opportunity to talk about their involvement in the Trayvon Martin case. For those of you who have been living under a rock, Trayvon Martin, 17-year-old young man, Sanford, Florida, just outside of Miami, shot and killed by a neighborhood watchman by the name of George Zimmerman. And George Zimmerman is now in hiding. He has not been arrested. He claims self-defense. More and more details have emerged day in and day out about this case. Whether or not they've been confirmed or can be confirmed will be left up to a special prosecutor, a special investigator, and we believe in a couple of weeks by a grand jury who will pretty much hash this out. The biggest development today, one that I thought was quite shocking, was that famed black director, Spike Lee, started posting George Zimmerman's home address on Twitter. And that has gone viral. As you know, George Zimmerman is in fear of his life. He is getting death threats, according to his friends. What we've also heard is that George Zimmerman indeed is not white. According to the New York Times, he is a white Hispanic. I don't know what that is.
A half white, half Hispanic.
Oh, so in essence...
Zimmerman is not Hispanic.
Well, does that
Zimmerman
mean...
Zimmerman is Jewish, probably.
Fair enough.
He's got one probably Jewish parent and one Hispanic.
Well, actually, that being said, does that mean that that Barack Obama is a white African-American?
Barack Obama is half white and half black.
But he's not considered a white African-American.
But he is.
But he's not considered that.
But he is white and African-American.
Hmm.
I don't care what he's considered.
He's considered America's first black president.
Okay, and I understand that.
Well, I'm just, you brought it up.
No.
I'm only responding to what you said, Mary.
I understand that. But this is the problem. First of all, it doesn't even matter what race he is. what ethnicity he is. He shot and killed a
17-year-old boy.
A really innocent 17-year-old boy with a bag of Skittles and a drink in his hand.
Yes.
Well, that, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. So the kid is presumably innocent.
And
now he's dead. This self-appointed neighborhood watch person, George Zimmerman, shot and killed him. Whether he's black, white, Spanish, Asian, whatever, it doesn't matter. He shot and killed a presumably innocent kid. The guy should have been arrested. It doesn't matter what color he is.
Regardless of
this. And that's the problem I have with this whole story. This whole thing. I finally heard something on 96.3 WHUR in Washington, D.C. tonight that I was so happy to hear. It was like, because they had been talking all last week, ever since it happened, about, you know, how there's no equality and, you know, this was a white guy shooting a black kid, killing the black kid, and it was all about a race thing. And now, finally, they said something to the effect of, you know, now this is affecting everyone. It isn't just affecting black people. This is affecting everyone because it's a safety issue.
Well, yes.
Everyone.
That is the core of this, which is why we want to talk to the Black Panther Party about this, is that this is indeed a safety issue where a neighborhood watchman, an armed watch, neighborhood watch, well, he's nonetheless, he is an armed man who, in essence, without scrutiny, can discharge a weapon while watching a neighborhood. What altercation took place? Those stories have been marred in controversy, but we'll get into all of that, you know, as it goes on. But let's talk about the most important factor, is that this would not be as charged in a sense. It could be a very important issue if we were just talking about what you just said, and that was it being a public safety issue. But unfortunately, it has grabbed the bullhorns of a race issue.
Of course, because everything has to become a race issue. Because everyone segregates themselves. This is a human issue. A human safety issue, in my eyes. I don't care what color any of them are. Somebody shot and killed another presumably innocent human being.
Well, why do you keep saying presumably innocent human being?
Wait.
But not saying that George Zimmerman is presumably innocent.
Okay, well, the whole situation, no one knows what happened.
But
all we know is that this kid is now dead. And George mm-hmm. Zimmerman is the one that shot and killed him. For whatever reasons, we don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. I can't speak. I won't say, oh, he did it because the kid was black and because he had a hoodie on and he looked suspicious with a bag of Skittles in his hand. I mean, I'm not going to, or in his pocket. I'm not going to say anything like that because I don't know. No one can say any of that because we were not there.
Well, let's take.
The bottom line is a murder took place.
Murder? That's a strong word, Mary.
The kid was murdered.
How do we know that? In order to establish the term murder, we must therefore assume that George Zimmerman is guilty of murder. So what we know is that a death took place. Because, again, no facts. It's all speculation at this point.
You still murdered somebody. You killed someone, whether it was in self-defense.
Murder is a crime. Killing isn't necessarily a crime when there's been no establishment of wrongdoing. And we have not assumed that. We have not come to that determination. Everything so far has been based on assumption and speculation. We must presume all parties are innocent. Yes, we know. Let's just deal with what it is we know. George Zimmerman indeed shot Trayvon Martin. The circumstances of that shooting are unclear. But that being said, it appears by most people's guesstimation that it was wrongful death on the part of George Zimmerman to fire a weapon on a young man who was unarmed. Now that we know all that, do we know the circumstances that led to George Zimmerman discharging the weapon? No, we do not. We have two separate stories. And when I say two separate stories is, according to Trayvon Martin's family, he was just out going to get Skittles and a beverage, and now he's shot and killed. He never had a weapon. We know that's a fact. George Zimmerman calls the police, says someone is suspicious. We have issues with that because Trayvon Martin was not suspicious. He was just a kid in the wrong place at the wrong time, but only at the hands of George Zimmerman. If there was an altercation between the two, that we know definitely happened. George Zimmerman resulted in a broken nose and a bruise to the back of his head. He clearly didn't do that himself because witnesses saw that never happened. They did say there was a fight. And no one has ever disputed that there was a fight. Not even Trayvon's family has disputed that a fight took place. But now the only thing that we have to do is find out what led to George Zimmerman firing the weapon. Now, wrongful death? That we can establish. It was wrongful death. There's no reason why Trayvon Martin should have been stopped. No reason why he should have been followed. No reason why he should have been accosted in any way whatsoever. His travels from the store to his father's apartment, father's home, should have gone unmolested. So there is some wrongdoing on the part of George Zimmerman. But he called the police. This was not a vigilante shooting. This was not...
He called the police for what, the 45th?
47th, from what we gather. But we've still not...
He's always calling the police, because he's the self-appointed neighborhood watch guy.
Again,
armed self-appointed neighborhood watch guy.
Truth be told, he might very well be a very overzealous neighborhood watchman. It's clear that he might be. But, that being said, we cannot determine whether or not he murdered him or he shot him in self-defense. And that's what we're going to talk about.
Go ahead. Listen, you're shooting someone in self-defense. What was the kid going to do? Beat you up with a bag of Skittles and a drink?
What about Trayvon Martin's fist?
Wait, look at the size of Zimmerman.
Right, 200 and...
And Zimmerman was approaching Trayvon. Trayvon was rolling out and going to...
According to the story, there's some mitigation, so to speak, about whether or not Trayvon approached the car, approached Zimmerman, or Zimmerman approached him. That still has not been established. It was originally believed that Zimmerman followed him and approached him. Now stories, according to this person, Joe, who has now been identified as a witness, says that he did not see it that way. He says that Trayvon approached George, and that's when the altercation took place. George Zimmerman, not being able to defend himself, Trayvon got the better of him, and in defending himself, fired his weapon, killing Trayvon. JC, you want to jump in here, please?
So he should have just taken a butt whipping and went home, and then maybe he would have learned to stop following people. He should have been following the kid in the first place.
Okay, I'm still agreeing with you there, but we've not determined anything yet. JC, did you want to add something?
You guys kind of chimed on it already, but what I did want to add was that even when calling the police, he was told not to follow this kid.
That is, again, the most important factor of this case, and I think this you can't help but argue George Zimmerman's motives or his actions. This is exactly where most people should be outraged. If you are told to stand down by the police, the people who are in authority here, you stand down. You do not put yourself in a position where you have to be confronted by or confront the person you are suspicious of. That's where George Zimmerman made a huge mistake.
And we all know that Zimmerman wanted to be a cop because...
He is a wannabe cop. He wanted to be a police officer. As I said boldly on this show last week that I'll tell you, look, the guy appears to be one of those guys who wanted to be a cop, wanted to make a difference, and could not do it.
Wanted to make a difference or just wanted to be a bully?
He didn't cut it.
I don't necessarily know if he wanted to make a difference.
Well,
he didn't cut it to make it a cop, I'm sure.
According to people who know him, he was a good guy who wanted to make a difference. Now, if that, if his... Right, but if his zeal caused him to do that, if his zeal caused him to do something he knows he shouldn't have done and should not have, you know, followed him, and that led to Trayvon Martin's death, then yeah, that's the problem.
And wait a minute, you said that the witnesses said that Trayvon approached the car. George Zimmerman was driving in a car?
Yes.
Why did he get out of the car?
You're absolutely right. Again, also agreeing with you. Why did he get out of the vehicle?
If he felt like he was in danger.
Or threatened.
Stranger danger. It's been the
theme that we've been running here.
For the whole weekend. why would you then get out of the car? Why would you get out of the car?
You're absolutely right. See, there's a lot of unanswered questions. I'm not disputing that. The actions of George Zimmerman, as far as what the facts say, clearly shows that he set himself up for something he could have clearly avoided had he just followed the directions of the 911 dispatcher. That we know, and I will stick by that, and that's 100% true. But the shooting, again, and you and I agree, Mary, and so do you, JC, that no shooting would have taken place had he just followed the directions of the 911 dispatcher. We all agree there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where we have our biggest issue. He did not do that. Now, I'm going to play some audio.
I have a bigger issue with him getting out of the car.
Yeah, I
didn't even know that he was in a car. This is the first time that I heard that. So why would you're following this kid, and then according to witnesses,
mm-hmm.
the kid approaches the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and then you decide, big bad wolf, because you got a pistol on your hip, you're going to get out the car?
Right.
And
if
what witnesses say
right.
are true,
mm-hmm.
and Zimmerman gets out of the car and ensues an argument with Trayvon, and then Trayvon gets the best of him, and then he ends up shooting him, that's still murder. That's not self-defense.
Well,
I find it very hard to believe that this, the size of this kid, and I understand that size doesn't matter because there have been people, you know, that I've known, that we've all known, that are, you know, really big and muscular or really big and just, you know, big people. And you would think, oh, they're not going to be afraid of anybody because look at their size. But size doesn't matter. It's all about the heart. It's all whether you have the guts and the you know, whatever to lift up your hand. But just because, even if a physical fight happens, if this kid is getting the best of you, get the kid off of you, get back in your car, and roll out. You don't have to pull your gun out and shoot people.
Well, okay, this also being said, according to this unidentified witness named Joe, he says that when he sees George Zimmerman on the ground and he's screaming for help, he says, according to the story, Trayvon's got him on the ground. He's punching George Zimmerman in the face. He's swinging on him. He's got the better of him. And he's slamming his head onto the concrete. This is according to reports. I'm not in any way saying this happened. This is according to reports. And this is what led to the shooting. Now, again, if it's an instance, and again, and I hate going back into speculation, but it's up for discussion. George Zimmerman is getting punched in the face by this kid. Fine, take the ass whipping, I always say. But if he's slamming his head against the concrete ground, George Zimmerman frightened, excited in this case, thinks maybe he's going to either get knocked out or killed because he's scared now at this point, knows he has a weapon to protect himself and fires it. Would that be...
Instead of firing the weapon, he should have just pistol whipped him to get him off of him. You don't even have to... You know, and if you're going to fire, shoot the kid in the foot. Shoot him in the elbows. You know, you don't shoot him to kill him.
I don't think that, well, he doesn't have the training to do that. Zimmerman doesn't have the training to know that he
well,
should...
Well, he obviously doesn't have the training to do anything. Clearly. But he's a moron.
Oh, now you're just being inflammatory.
No, I'm not. Because you're a moron. If you're calling the cops, you've made your... You're the self-appointed neighborhood watch for this neighborhood. He looks crazy, but, I mean, looks...
Wow, well, come on now.
You're the self-appointed neighborhood watch. You see this kid walking down the street. He's not bothering you. He's not doing anything to you. You go and you seek him out. And then you, if, according to this witness, if the story is true, you moron, get out of your car.
Right.
Approach the kid.
Right. You put yourself in a precarious situation.
You put yourself in a situation to be harmed.
Right. Exactly. He willingly walked into a dangerous situation.
You only did that because you had a pistol on your hip, and that made you fearless. Until, again, if what witnesses say, Trayvon gets the best of him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now you want to pull the pistol out? Don't you think you just should have stayed home in your own house and minded your own freaking business?
That's my...
You didn't see any crime happening. All you saw was this kid walking through
right.
the neighborhood.
Right, you didn't intervene on a crime. The only thing you did was you...
He wasn't robbing an old
right,
lady.
Right, right.
He wasn't, you know,
right.
walking down the street.
Zimmerman, if anything, Zimmerman knows he screwed up. He knows that. He knows that his actions led to the death of that young man. He knows he is culpable. That I don't dispute in any way whatsoever. I want to play the audio from Joe Oliver, I believe his name is, who's a good friend and African-American of George Zimmerman. He spoke to George Stephanopoulos this morning on ABC.
We're joined now by Joe Oliver, a close personal friend of Mr. Zimmerman, and his legal advisor, Craig Sonner. Thank you both for joining us this morning. And Joe, let me begin with you. We just heard Matt talk about these protests in Sanford later this afternoon. Thousands convinced that this was in some way a hate crime. Justice Department investigating that as well. But I take it you would not be speaking out for Mr. Zimmerman if you had any evidence at all that he had been motivated in the past or in this shooting by racial prejudice?
No, I wouldn't. I had a chance before I came in this morning. I ran into Reverend Jesse Jackson, who I've met several times in the past, and I spoke to him. And I acknowledge that in the big picture, yes, this is a racial issue. But in the thing that sparked it all, this one particular confrontation between the two when they met, it had nothing to do with race.
But as you know, on that 911 call, many have heard what they think is a racial epithet for Mr. Zimmerman.
And many people have made an interpretation of what they think happened based upon what they've heard so far, what they've seen so far, but they haven't heard from George. They haven't seen the evidence. And one of the things that's allowed this to swell so big is what's very confusing to me. Just historically, we've seen so much evidence in other cases presented to the press and allowed to be seen and explored by the public. But until that evidence gets out, you know, this conversation is going to keep ballooning until it explodes.
But Mr. Senator, we know from the 911 tapes, the 911 dispatcher is saying, as Mr. Zimmerman is chasing Trayvon, he's saying, you don't need to do that.
That's not exactly what's on the tape. I forget exactly what was said there, but it wasn't, you don't need to do that. I think it's, we don't need you to do that. But there are other 911 tapes that haven't been disclosed. There are other things that were said. There are other events that happened that night. And I think once those things come out, it's going to tell a complete story. We don't have the complete story yet. And I believe that once that complete story comes out, it's going to show that George Zimmerman acted in self-defense that night, that he was attacked. He did have a right to defend himself. And we desperately need to have that evidence come out. And we've got the grand jury's convening on April 10th. And hopefully at that point, that information is going to come out. And I think it will exonerate George Zimmerman at that point.
Well, but as you know, even someone who's going before a grand jury has the right to come out and just tell their side of the story.
I hope he does get a chance to tell his side of the story at the grand jury, but I'm not sure that's necessarily true, that he will have an opportunity, but I hope he does.
So you're not sure he's going to testify?
I don't have the, and I don't have any of the details on that yet.
Joe, you've described this as a life and death struggle going on. Even told our anchor David Muir yesterday that you're not even sure who pulled the trigger.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Did George Zimmerman tell you he didn't pull the trigger?
No, I can't say that he did or didn't. The only things that I talked about George was to confirm the things that I had gotten through his family about what happened and what was going on, and I needed that to hear from him before I could sit here and talk on his behalf.
So why are you so sure he wasn't the aggressor, and why aren't you sure that he pulled the trigger?
And that's the evidence that's going to come out.
What have they told you?
Plus the fact that, I'm sorry?
What have they told you, his family?
I can't go into that, George, because that would be the evidence that's going to be presented in the grand jury case. I mean, George has been told by the investigators not to say anything. He's in hiding now out of fear for his life. There's a bounty on his head. I wish I could. I really do wish I could. But I've got to follow George's lead because this is his life now.
And you've also said, based on your conversations with him and his family, that he cried for days after the shooting and is sorry about it.
No question about it. I mean, when I first heard that it was George, my first thought was, no, it can't be. Because this is a guy that you would trust with your life. This is a guy who would bend over backwards to do anything for you. This is a guy who thought he was doing the right thing at the time, and it's turned out horribly wrong.
And what does he want the protesters to know?
First and foremost, he's not a racist. First and foremost, this particular incident is not a racial incident. This is a horrible, horrible happening where someone who thought he was doing the right thing has virtually lost his life now.
And what would he say to Trayvon Martin's family?
That he's very, very sorry. That he's very, very sorry. Because in many ways, George has lost his life too.
Bottom line, you're convinced George Zimmerman acted in self-defense.
I'm absolutely convinced that George Zimmerman acted in self-defense.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
So there you have it. According to Joe Oliver, who is a good friend of George Zimmerman, says that there are 911 tapes that have not been revealed. There is a side of this story that has not been revealed, and that this was not racially motivated. It became, I believe, personally, a racial issue behind the police's lack thereof, a formal investigation, which caused the original sheriff, who has now stepped down temporarily, to not deal with this in a proper manner. That goes without question. And I believe that people in the black community who feel as though the police did not handle this properly because Trayvon Martin is black it's an appropriate conclusion to come to. Whether or not it's true still remains to be seen, but it's enough to warrant the questioning of the motivation of the police department. So, I mean, that's where I stand on that. And the fact that other people are trumping this up and putting this towards George Zimmerman as a racist, I think that, again, it's got no place here. It shouldn't have any place here because people have only made the assumption that he's white in the beginning and immediately made it a black-white issue. But the police department has plenty of questions to ask. So we'll take a break. In the next half hour, the bottom of the hour, somewhere between 8:30, maybe even 8:45, we expect to get a phone call from a spokesman from the new Black Panther Party. As you heard Joe Oliver say, there is a bounty on George Zimmerman's head, and it's been placed by the new Black Panther Party for $10,000. They want it to reach $1 million. They're asking for people to give donations. And when they call in, we'll talk to them about what that's about. So stick around. It's Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey.
Radio, and we are back 35 minutes after the hour on March 2012. Number 347-308-8701. Now, in the next, I'm hoping within the next 5-10 minutes, I'm kind of back and forth texting the people over at the new Black Panther Party. So I'm waiting for them to call in to talk about what people are calling the bounty. Let me read the press release that came out yesterday, March 25th. It says the new Black Panther Party offers $10,000 reward for the capture and citizen's arrest for George Zimmerman, murderer of Trayvon Martin. Breaking news, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, a U.S.-based national activist group with several chapters in Florida, announced today that it was offering a $10,000 reward for the capture and arrest of George Zimmerman, the shooter and murderer of the unarmed Trayvon Williams. The reward money is from church members, community members, and activists. The Trayvon Martin case, and they called it the Trayvon Williams case in this, the Trayvon Martin case has shocked the consciousness of a nation and brought about a racial volcano after 28-year-old Zimmerman shot and killed young 17-year-old Trayvon Martin on the date of February 26, which, by the way, today marks the one-month anniversary. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, leader of Black Lawyers for Justice and the new Black Panther Party, states, the legal fact that the police did not arrest George Zimmerman after overwhelmingly probable cause or even check his background or investigate the case is both shocking and unconscionable and equally unacceptable. If the tables were turned and a black man had stalked and gunned down a white youth like that, with the 911 tapes running, that black man surely would have been arrested. Sean Quelly, national spokesman of the new Black Panther Party, says, we cannot sit back as men and allow Zimmerman to remain free and on the loose because he is a danger to himself and others. We demand the police do their job and arrest and charge Zimmerman with first-degree murder. In the meanwhile, we must use our constitutional rights and Florida law to organize a citizen's arrest in order to see that justice is done. Our goal is to increase the $10,000 reward up to $100,000. And according to published reports as of recently, in fact, in audio that I've also obtained here, that number has been raised to $1 million. Here's that audio.
We're already getting support from athletes and entertainers as we speak. By next week, we're looking forward to getting $1 million for the capture of George Zimmerman. We're going to force our government to do their job properly, and if they don't, we will. It is a very troubling time in the United States of America. We are in the era of so-called post-racial harmony with all people but black people are being murdered all over America, and we get the same treatment time and time again. So we're saying to President Obama, you got to do your job on this one, buddy. We don't need a beer. We don't need to laugh and have a good time. Our children are dying. And so, white America, we have given you 400 years to get it right, and you still have failed black people. We're not even citizens in this country. We're still third-class citizens. And so today, as black men, we must stand up in America. We must declare to white America, time is up for you. No longer can you kill black children and get away with it. We no longer going to take the words of no good Bill Lee. We don't care who is the sheriff. The city of Sanford's police department has a track record of abusing their power, killing innocent black men and women, police brutality, and nothing has ever been done about it in this city. So we want concrete results.
And that from the new Black Panther Party. In fact, I just received a text from them, and I'll read it to you. They want to come in at 9:05.
They said that's the quickest they can get them on, so they asked us to stand by. So they will be here. In fact, the gentleman who I just stated, whose name is, and I want to make sure I get it right so I don't mispronounce his name, Sean Qualley, who's the national spokesman of the new Black Panther Party.
Gentlemen, we just heard talking.
Yeah, that's, and we will be, we'll have him on the air. We'll do that at the top of the hour, apparently. And I'm assuming he would be. He's probably doing interviews all over the place now that this bounty has been put up. Let me ask you guys, a $10,000 bounty that they want to move up into $1 million. What's your take on that, Mary? I mean, regardless of how it's worded, it's a bounty. You are putting the public in the charge of finding George Zimmerman and bringing him to justice, as they say. Do you think this is counterproductive, productive? I mean, do you think that they're within their rights to do so? How do you feel about it? And be frank. I'm sure they're listening. I mean, they want you to be frank.
They probably should have called it a reward.
Really? You don't like the...
I mean, that's not the biggest problem I see here. It really is not.
You don't?
No. Not after I just heard this gentleman.
Well, elaborate on what it is that you've heard in his statement, and be honest. I mean, this is an honest debate, so let's be honest. If it's, do you think it's racially charged? Do you think it's racially tinged?
Totally racially.
Of course
charged.
It is.
But I mean, to go to those, you know, I guess I should have expected that because it is what it is. But I just, you know, it's time to show the white man that, you know, this is not going to
his time is up.
But you know, I mean, really, 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 a 17-year-old kid. It is ridiculous that anyone got murdered or lost their life, I should say.
Sure.
I just don't get the whole making this about the white man and the white man and the black man and now and history. And I don't get it. Someone lost their life.
And you believe that focus is being lost?
Yes. That focus is gone. It doesn't matter whether, like I said earlier, and I can't say it more and more and more and more and more. It doesn't matter. This was a human being. This was a kid that is not going to be able to graduate high school, is not going to be able to go to college, is not going to be able to give their parents grandchildren, is not going to be able to, you know, to breathe air and to
fulfill his life. Fulfill his life.
You know,
yeah, sure.
His life is over.
Absolutely.
That is a tragedy, and that should be a tragedy amongst everyone, not just any one particular ethnic, and it is a tragedy to everyone because everyone is talking about it.
Right. Well,
but we shouldn't. We have
lost votes. Well, no, you're right. Absolutely right. Let me say this before, because I know I'm sure the guys will agree with me here. I believe that the intention of people like the New Black Panther Party, even the media, for that matter, have drummed up and ginned up the race factor of this, because otherwise it would just be another kid dead in the street. And by ginning up the racial connotation, if you will, gives it more attention so that all eyes stay on it and it's not sort of tossed away like in the breeze. You know, like it's just, you know, another casualty of war, so to speak.
And that is one of the saddest.
That's unfortunate for the people who are reporting on this story in the media. In essence, the media jumped on this.
No one should have to make it what they're making it. No one should have to make it like that. It should just matter
But the media wouldn't have jumped on it. Listen, the media wouldn't have jumped on it had they not heard the name George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin. They know if there had not been somebody that says unarmed black kid shot by white, that's it. And that was the original sort of narrative, white, neighborhood watchman. They loved that. They jumped on it. The New York Times jumped on it. You know, the regular mainstream press, they jumped on it. And then as more and more factors came out and said, oh, his mother's Peruvian, he's part Latino, new pictures have come out. When you've seen the new pictures of George Zimmerman, there's a new picture of him in his shirt and tie. He looks way more Latino than he does in the original picture of his mugshot. And people are looking at it and going, whoa. It's like, but they've already latched onto the racial factor that now they can't let it go. Because if they were to ignore it, they knew that
But it's almost like, I swear to you, I'm waiting for riots to break out because I know.
I know they will. Just to give you an up.
It's going to happen, and it's going to happen because people are fueling. It's like the battery is charging, and more and more power is coming into that battery until that battery pack explodes.
Absolutely.
That's gonna happen.
Just to give you guys again another update. I'm back and forth texting. With the folks at the new Black Panther Party. They will be with us at the top of the hour at 9:05. They will be calling in to talk to us about the $10,000 and the $1 million they're trying to raise, as most are referring to it as a bounty on George Zimmerman to bring him to justice. The number is 347-308-8701. A person I've been having a lot of conversation about this with is, of course, our resident Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery is on the line. And James, we've argued extensively about this and the racial, I guess, implication in all of this. But I got to ask you, with all of that aside, how do you feel about the new Black Panther Party putting a $10,000 bounty and asking for even more money?
A $10,000 bounty on him. Again, it's people who are letting, whether grief or their own personal things get in the way. Or $10,000 on a bounty on this man, it hurts us. It doesn't help. And I don't see how people can't see that. You're hurting your own cause. Why? Why would you do that, knowing how big profile this is? And now, you know, there's already a general fear of black people and how they react to things. And you're going to put a $1 million bounty on a man and make it public.
Well,
this is going to help us in the long run where we're not so – how does this help – us not get profiled?
James, I gotta stop you. How does the bounty do more damage for black people? I'm not understanding your exact point, because the new Black Panther Party is telling the American citizen, if you know where George Zimmerman is, if you find him and citizen arrest him, we will give you $10,000 or whatever number it grows to. I don't understand how that affects black people. Are you saying that you're pinning – it can't be a war in any way. Like, white people aren't standing around going, oh, man, there's a war on a white man. Like, no one's saying that. You know what I'm
saying? No one's saying that. But as soon as somebody gets hurt, it's just the spark that's needed for that war to happen.
Oh, something – listen to me. If there is an overzealous – again, and this is the scary part. And you want to talk you want to talk about how this can become frightening. From the way that I see it, and I'm going to ask the guys at the new Black Panther Party, I'm going to ask the gentleman there, isn't he in essence asking a regular citizen to do the same thing that George Zimmerman is now being accused of doing? Remember, we are putting out somebody there who isn't a trained law enforcement member to go out there and to bring George Zimmerman to justice. What if George Zimmerman decides to fight back? George Zimmerman is an armed man. The man got his gun back. He's an armed man.
I was going to bring that up because it definitely resonates like that with me. You're actually compounding the crime.
Exactly. He's an armed man. If he feels as though his life is being threatened by a lynch mob, who are you to say that he shouldn't defend himself then as well? If indeed he wasn't defending himself with Trayvon Martin, but you get my meaning. It's like you're sending out the lynch mob to him. I mean, this is like the guy's Frankenstein in many ways. You get my, you know,
the pitchforks
and the torches. That's what this is doing. And what I'm asking is whether or not, forget about the racial implications. It's talking about, aren't you exacerbating a lynch mob mentality in the same way that you believe George Zimmerman, because you believe that he racially profiled Trayvon, that he was out there sort of giving vigilante justice and pulling all these quote-unquote bad black people off the street. Now you're telling a bunch of people who were clearly motivated by the racial implications to then go out and find this white man as being, you know, pontificated over and over again, and that drum's being pounded and pounded and pounded. You're creating a worst issue. A worse issue, I should say. I'm trying to figure out why they're doing this. That's why I need to find out what their motivation is. I think they have to answer for that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you want to keep it like that, you know, just we need to remember this is how something like that is how this case came up in the first place. And again, you can't turn a positive from a negative.
With another negative.
And, you know, the thing that I also find odd, and I will also ask them about this, Sean Quali, who will be calling in and at the top of the hour, I have to ask him that, okay, so fine, let's say that you find George Zimmerman without incident. You citizen arrest him. You bring him down to the Sanford Police Department. The Sanford Police Department has made no decision to arrest him. You can't make the police department put him behind bars. So you get him. Okay, so you get him. You citizen arrest him. And then what? Police department says, there's no warrant for George Zimmerman's arrest. I can't just put a guy behind bars because you don't like what it is that he did. I can't do that. There's nothing in the law to suggest I can. So I'm almost feel like there is a sense of vigilante justice with no recourse in this. And that's, you know, what I want to ask. I mean, these are questions that beg to be answered by this. All of this I find fascinating. Let me go backwards, James, since you're just joining us. A friend of his by the name of Joe Oliver spoke to ABC News this morning. And he also spoke to them over the weekend. Joe Oliver is a black man who says that he knows George Zimmerman and they're close friends. He's a close friend of the family. Says that no matter what anybody believes, that George Zimmerman is not a racist. And
that in fact, someone that's
like, exactly. And he also believes that George Zimmerman was under attack and shot Trayvon Martin in self-defense. Do you believe that there's any semblance of truth in any of that?
I believe it's a friend who wants to stay to remain loyal to his friend, but it's just too much of a long-seated, maybe not racism, but a long-seated prejudice. At least, all right. This is a man who actually went out hunting. This is not in dispute. He was driving around the neighborhood looking for something. His friend had already said when he was on, I don't know if it's the same guy, but there was another friend, or was it his brother or something like that, who said, you know, he'd had enough, he wasn't going to take it anymore.
Well,
you know these motivations actually went into this. And I refuse to believe that while he was driving around, that Trayvon Martin was the only person on the block, or only young person in the whole in the neighborhood. Why did he choose Trayvon Martin?
Well, even if he did just choose Trayvon Martin, I mean, okay, so I mean, I understand where you come from. You're coming from. You come from the ilk that says Trayvon Martin was targeted. You believe that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. From what we know, Trayvon Martin was seen by George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman made an assessment on his own based on no facts that Trayvon Martin was a menace or was up to no good. I guess the best way to put it was up to no good. Mm-hmm. He made a determination that Trayvon had to be stopped, frisked, whatever, by the police. He saw this young man as suspicious. Now, his motivation, you believe, was all a motivation by race. Not that he looked suspicious, whether or not he had his pants sagging. You believe that it was all about whether or not he was black. I only disagree for one reason, Jay. Here's why. I believe that Trayvon Martin was targeted because he was young and black first. That I believe.
But black is still in there.
So I'm not disputing it. I'm not going to parse my words in any particular way, because I'll tell you why. Okay? George Zimmerman is not a fool. Neither are you, neither am I, neither is JC, neither is Mary. We are not fools. But when we see these young African-American men dressed a certain way, we do have a preconceived notion, no matter what race we are. These kids, certain kids, do not fit the profile of upstanding citizen. Whose fault is that? Is it ours or is it theirs? Someone must be culpable. George Zimmerman may be ignorant because he believes, like many people do, that someone who dresses like a Trayvon Martin must be up to no good. But we're all guilty of that. The only difference between us and George Zimmerman is George Zimmerman is a neighborhood watch member, and he had a 9mm and had the ability and opportunity to shoot Trayvon.
He's not a neighborhood watch member. He's a self-appointed. He has a neighborhood watch.
But okay, fair enough. Okay, semantics aside, but you know that the difference between he and the rest of us is that. That is it alone. We all know that we look at those kids, we see them when they're walking down the street, they have a thuggish attitude, they have a very, very thuggish personality, because that, within their community, is a celebrated ideal. And if George Zimmerman, being ignorant like the rest of us, because that's the bottom line, we're all ignorant, we see those kids and we automatically nominate them to be the same type of the image that we see on television and the music videos, that they all adhere to that persona. And you know we do. George Zimmerman, the difference between he and I is that George Zimmerman is now pretty much running from it for his life, because he ended up shooting one of those people that he had a preconceived notion about. And you know that's the truth.
Look, I still say that there's never been anything in evidence, all right, other than his clothes, all right, and the fact that he was black, okay, because one has to do with the other, all right. I seriously doubt that if he's seen a kid, a white child, that had the hoodie on and the sagging pants, it would still been a whole different story.
It may have been. You're probably right. But you know what? We can't do that. There's no way for us to go into our crystal ball and to know that. We can't. That's just something that we believe, but we have no proof of it.
Okay. All right, then fine. Then at least just stick to the merits. Because even on the merits, this man should have been in jail or at least held for questioning. Okay?
That's an absolute fact, James. I agree with you there. He should at least been held for questioning until a full investigation revealed what happened. You're 100% right. Let's take a break. We'll go to the top of the hour. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC
$1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin stripped in New York City. Number two, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats, Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back. It is March the 26th, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701, 4 minutes after the hour, 9:04 Eastern Standard Time. And again, still in the midst of this texting back and forth to make sure that we get this gentleman on the line. I've been teasing it pretty much for the whole hour, but we will have him on. I'm sure that the Black Panther Party is doing interviews everywhere. Turn on Fox. Let's see if one of these, make sure one of these guys, they're probably on Hannity probably by now, or CNN, one of these stations, and see whether or not, well, okay, yeah, there was there's somebody else talking about the Trayvon Martin shooting. We do hope to get them on. I wanted to, and in fact, on Hannity right now, folks, If you turn on the gentleman in the middle, is Joe Oliver. That is the friend of George Zimmerman, who has been doing interviews. He's been on the interview circuit all day and pretty much this weekend, talking on behalf of George Zimmerman. And we're, again, still hoping to get these people from the Black Panther Party on the phone. They claim that they will be calling in, so we hope that they will be. I hate it when I have to sneeze. That's the worst feeling in the world. Oh, really? Is that what they... I thought you had to say it's like a word. There's a word that you say.
Look at the light. It'll make you...
Oh, really? Oh. I don't want to look at the light and make myself sneeze. Anyway...
Well, it's better than having the feeling of having to sneeze and you can't.
Yeah, I understand. Anyway, there was some other news I want to get into, and we'll wait until the folks at the Black Panther Party give a call in. Did you guys hear about President Obama caught on tape talking about his next election?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, the story happened yesterday. President Obama in North Korea was with President Medvedev. And they were talking, and his mic was hot at the time that he was speaking. And they're talking about missile defense. And a lot of people know that President Obama has scaled down our missile defense systems. In scaling them down, he wants us to have less missile defense as a sign of, you know, showing people that we are out, as, you know, the American people, we're out for peace. And Vladimir Putin, who has just won election in Russia to be the president there, was talking to Medvedev and telling Medvedev to pretty much tell Vladimir to give me some space. What he says, on the other hand, is quite telling. President Obama is certain that he is going to be reelected.
In South Korea this morning, President Obama may have been a little too honest with another world.
My apologies. Nope. We'll get to that later. Let's get into the interview that we said that we were going to have, and I apologize. Let me get to that interview now. It's Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio, 7 minutes after the hour. Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman, New Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. I was trying to stretch out some time because I know you've probably been extremely busy talking to a bunch of other news outlets, so we really here at Reese on the Radio appreciate your time.
All right, appreciate you all giving me the flexibility. Let's go.
Thank you. Not a problem. We understand. So let's get into this. Of course, we know the case of Trayvon Martin's death, which took place a month ago today. George Zimmerman, who is the shooter of the self-appointed neighborhood watchman, and everything that has transpired since then. I've got a lot of important questions because, you know, as a journalist, as a radio host, I've got to ask the tough questions and probably some questions you haven't been asked. So are you willing to answer some of those?
Well, our stance is always tough. We always have a tough stance and thing. We're dealing with things that are tough to answer all the time. So this is not new. No new territory for me, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so you folks put out a press release today saying that there was a $10,000 reward for the citizen's arrest of George Zimmerman, shooter and murderer of Trayvon Martin, your words in your press release. My question to you is that why the bounty? Because that's what it's being publicized as in the media. This is a $10,000 bounty on a man. Why do it?
I think that is unfortunate. But I mean, obviously, it's media. We're dealing with media here. The words that we use in the New Black Panther Party is reward. We're saying reward. We're not putting a bounty on the man's head, but we are saying that we are within our constitutional rights, and we are within our rights according to the law in Florida, the citizens' arrest law in Florida, to propose a legal, I'm going to say that again, a legal citizens' arrest. Whereas when we, according to law, when you feel that a felony has been committed, when you have, as in Zimmerman's words, a suspicion that a felony has been committed, according to Floridian law, on citizen's arrest, you have the right to do one. And so we are testing that law, and, of course, we're pushing that law. And if it's worth the paper that it's written on, then we're going to stand on it. And so that's where that came from. That is not, contrary to popular belief, illegal for us to do it. It is very legal.
Okay,
so do what we're doing.
So it's okay. So let's take the legality of it. The Sanford Police Department in Florida has made no attempts to arrest George Zimmerman. So let's say that your reward comes to fruition. I go down to Sanford. I find George Zimmerman. I bring him into the police department. Does that mean that the police department in Sanford, Florida, are compelled to arrest him because I have brought him in under the Constitution of citizen's arrest? Are they compelled to then?
That's not the condition. The condition that we offer $10,000 for a citizen's arrest. Now, whether the Sanford Police Department does its job, because you have to remember now, sir, that when the incident occurred, according to the reports that were given initially, when the incident occurred, they did not follow proper procedure in terms of questioning Mr. Zimmerman. They, as it appears, had already had trial right there where the incident took place, and we already had a young Trayvon Martin dead and on his way to the morgue. And so if the Sanford police are not willing to do their job and do a thorough investigation, and the chief has already won a no-confidence vote, then that will be on the Sanford police, and that will be a moral stain and a bloody stain, unfortunately, on the Sanford police. But we're saying as citizens, let's be clear in what we're saying. We're saying as citizens, those who are tired of seeing, especially in specific, young black boys being targeted and being basically stalked because of the color of our skin, that we are willing and able to perform a citizen's arrest on those whom we deem have committed a felony.
All right, it's Reese on the Radio. We're on the phone with Sean Quali, the spokesperson for the new Black Panther Party. Mr. Quali, let me ask you this then, to follow up to your statement. So we make the citizen's arrest. The Sanford Police Department refuses to place George Zimmerman under arrest. So what indeed do we do? Okay, I bring him down to the police station. A citizen's arrest, there must be a protocol that's followed. Okay, so we bring him in as a citizen's arrest. What do we hold George Zimmerman in our own
All laws apply.
But where do we hold him then? If the police department will not.
Let me brief you. All laws apply. When you are doing a citizen's arrest, according to law, we are required to call the local police chief, or to bring him to the nearest chief available. And so by law, that is all we are required to do. We are not asking anybody to do anything crazy, anybody to do anything vigilante or anything unethical. We are talking about following the law. And so I say again, if at that point, when presented by God's grace and by the power of the people, if he is presented to the Sanford police or even the nearest jurisdiction, because as far as I know, he's probably running now. Word on the street, he's probably running now. So whatever the jurisdiction is, if he's presented there, we're not asking anybody to harm him or to do him any injustice. We're saying simply turn him over to the local authorities. That's what we're
okay.
saying.
Now, you do understand that you are sending private citizens out to citizen arrest George Zimmerman, an armed man, to be arrested by a citizen and brought to the local authorities. Do you understand the kind of quagmire you're creating with that kind of suggestion that there is a reward? George Zimmerman feels now that his life is in jeopardy, that there is a bounty on his head, regardless of how it is that you word it. Semantics aside, Mr. Quali, semantics aside.
None here.
That right now the tensions are high. Someone comes to George Zimmerman to come and arrest him, to come and citizen arrest him. He believes that his life is in danger. He believes that. He has made that clear. His spokesperson, Joe Oliver, has made it clear. He is in fear of his life. You are now putting a private citizen who is going to approach, and everyone knows that he is an armed man. You think that people are going to approach George Zimmerman unarmed?
I can't speak for what every single person would do.
Of course, that's what makes.
Let me finish. I'm simply saying this. It's obvious
that George Zimmerman is an armed man because we're talking about a 17-year-old teenager that's dead because of his arms.
I understand I will say this.
Anybody who participates in this legal citizen's arrest, of course they would use discretion. George Zimmerman, unfortunately, is not the only one who has arms. We want to be wise. We're not asking anybody, again, to do anything vigilante or unethical or illegal. But I'm saying this, it's clear he had arms, and it's clear that he's armed because he has killed someone. This man is a murderer, sir. He is a murderer.
We cannot determine that, but if that's the way you want to portray it, that's absolutely fine. Mr. Quale, let me go further on this. Why is this case and this story become a racially tinged one, not just by, and I'm not pinning this solely on the new Black Panther Party, but I'm talking about people who have been involved, from Jesse Jackson to Reverend Al Sharpton, even yourselves. And I'm not pinning it all on the new Black Panther Party. Why has this been motivated by race? And let me just preface this before you answer. I know that part and parcel it is due to the actions of the Sanford Police Department or the Florida Police Department, but why has this been motivated by race outside of the police department?
It is not motivated by race on behalf of the new Black Panther Party. Many people thought that we felt like that George Zimmerman was specifically a Caucasian man and we were after some black-white issue. And then once we understood that he was Caucasian and Peruvian, that it was going to change. It has nothing to do with it. We in the new Black Panther Party function off of a 10-point program. In our 10-point program, we talk about wanting an immediate end to black-on-black violence and the murder of black people, period. And so whoever the perpetrator is, whether they're white, black, red, yellow, polka dot, it doesn't matter. Enough is enough. We're simply making this statement as a people, saying that we are tired of seeing our young boys and girls murdered in the streets, especially when it is predetermined that they're doing something wrong, when all they were doing were going to the store to get a bag of Skittles and a juice on iced tea. Come on now.
Now, okay. Let me just make sure that for those of you who are just joining in, we're on the phone with a spokesman of the new Black Panther Party, Mr. Sean Quale. Am I pronouncing it right? Is it Sean?
You're saying it right. It's Sean
Quale. I apologize. Mr. Quale, you, based on the last statement you just made, I have to say this. You say that the new Black Panther Party is grown sick and tired of seeing our young black children killed and murdered on the street without question, without provocation. They've actually been killed and murdered. So I have to ask you this question. And most people won't go after you guys, like the new Black Panther Party, Reverend Al Sharpton, Reverend Jesse Jackson. They won't go after civil rights leaders for this. I do not see the same fervor when young black men are killed by an exorbitant amount of numbers by their own black counterparts. Why is it that only in cases like this we see these rallies, these 25,000 people marching? We see these numbers. If you look at Chicago over a week ago, 40 people shot in the city of Chicago, 10 people killed, one of them a 6-year-old black girl in her yard playing. We do not see civil rights people or civil rights activists out there quelling the violence that's happening in drug-ridden, crime-ridden, gang-related areas across our country. And then a case like this, where it's immediately assumed that George Zimmerman is white, that this gets the attention of people who march in droves, but we don't get them marching in droves when it is black-on-black crime, which is way more rampant than we see, quote-unquote, racially white versus black?
Well, that's a great question. But I would say that on behalf of the new Black Panther Party, we didn't just put our hat in the race for trying to stop black-on-black violence or organizing against black-on-black violence. And I'd say a second part to that is we are equally, if not more, concerned with what happens in our community than what happens in other communities. To back my point, from April the 23rd, let me give you this backdrop, from April the 23rd on up to our last one, October 1st, and now coming up in May 19th, as you go to our website, dayofactionmovement.org, that started because We in the new Black Panther Party were concerned, seriously concerned, about the conditions of the black community, the black-on-black violence, the things that you cite in Chicago and in Detroit and in Los Angeles and other areas. And where we organized 60 cities in America. You won't hear this on CNN, so I'm going to tell you on your show. We organized 60 cities in America to go to the streets, specifically in the black community, to deal with black issues, black-on-black crime, violence, ignorance, lack of proper education, health care, disparities, and other things that are going on, the prison population, the HIV, AIDS, the cancer rate, diabetes, and all of that we dealt with for ourselves with equal fervor. But you didn't hear about that on CNN. I cannot make an apology because the media portrays images and situations like this for ratings.
I appreciate where it is that you're coming from. So let me ask you a follow-up question to what it is that you just said. That's great that the new Black Panther Party is going into the black communities and they're dealing with those issues. So I'll ask you a follow-up question to your own statements. Do you see the way the new Black Panther Party is approaching the Sanford Police Department and police abroad and the statements that were made today towards President Obama? I believe, was that you who called him buddy today? But let me ask you this.
That was not me. That was Michelle Muhammad. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. But the fervor that's being put on the Trayvon Martin case is that you guys are challenging the authority. You're going after the police department. You're going after the powers that be. You're going after the special prosecutor. You're going after the lieutenant governor. You're going after those individuals. My question is, you can show up to the black community when they're out there killing themselves. But here's my question to the new Black Panther Party. And I don't want to get off subject, but I just want to put you guys to task. Are you confronting the gangs? Hold on. Are you confronting the gangs and the drug dealers in the same fashion that you're attacking the police when they do nothing? You see what I'm saying? If the police do nothing to see black kids getting killed, do you approach gang members and drug dealers the same way?
I wouldn't even characterize it in the fashion that you're saying in terms of attack. We're not attacking anyone.
Well,
we are defending ourselves and defending our people. And to answer the question in specific, absolutely. Hell yeah, we're dealing with the gang violence. Hell yeah, we're dealing with the drugs and the
Are you dealing with the gangs, Mr.
But I will say, sir.
Hold on, wait. You didn't answer my question. Are you dealing with the gangs with the same fervor you're dealing with the police department and the powers and be in your federal government? The way that I see the Black Panther Party out there dealing with the what you call the opposition here. The opposition in the black community is drugs, is the drug dealers,
who put the drugs there, sir?
No, forget about that.
Let's not forget about it. Who put the drugs there, sir?
Mexicans.
No, that's not
Mexicans.
True. Iran-Contra was not a specific Mexican case, sir.
No. Actually, marijuana comes from Mexico. Where do you think
Come
it's
on,
coming
sir.
From?
You're going to have to do a little better than that.
I'm going to say for your audience,
do your research. Go right ahead with your question. I do
my research. Here's my question to you. Again, forget about the fact that they're getting their drugs from white man or Iraqis, whatever it is. They're black kids dealing drugs to their own people. They're killing their own kind. Gang members are killing themselves. My question is, are you confronting the people responsible for the shooting death of other blacks within their own community? And I ask you, listen, I'm just asking you, do you deal with them with the same fervor that you deal with the opposition in the Trayvon Martin case? And the answer is yes or no.
The answer is emphatically yes. But
how?
It does not draw the same media attention.
Forget about the media attention.
The MSNBCs, they can't. It doesn't make the kind of ratings that are quote unquote racially charged. What you call a racially charged situation like a Trayvon Martin makes. I had nothing to do with where they aim their cameras. But I can tell you, if you look at our track record from 20 years since 1989, the new Black Panther Party started in Dallas, Texas, first patrolling the neighborhoods. We patrolled the neighborhoods with cameras, legal arms at that time, pen and pad, confronting dope dealers. That's how we started, and that's how we continue.
But what are you doing? There's been no change.
You cannot heap what America has caused specifically on the back of the new Black Panther Party. All of these organizations that are out here, all of the groups that are out here are doing the best that they can. But like I said, we don't have the boats and the planes and the trains. We didn't bring the drugs in here. And so all of our efforts combined are just a drop in the bucket. Why don't you raise the same fervor against 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and tell them to stop the drug traffic? Why don't you do that?
Oh, actually, you don't think that we do that here? We've been asking
if you're saying that the efforts of the new Black Panther Party isn't making a change. What I'm saying is we are not the source of the flow of the drugs. So anything that we do is only to combat someone else's infiltration of the drugs. That's what I'm saying.
What are you doing? Okay. So that being said, what I want to see the Black Panther Party is, and if they're doing it motivated by media attention, then it's a losing cause.
We're not in this for media attention.
You mentioned the media. You mentioned CNN and Fox News and how they don't pay attention to those cases. And based on your own words, I mean, look, the new Black Panther Party is getting the attention that they're getting because, as many people call, and I'm not using the word, but this is what people are calling an outrageous suggestion by the new Black Panther Party to put a bounty, their suggestion, not mine, on George Zimmerman. I wanted to ask you questions about that, but more importantly, because if you're an important group, and if you are going to be considered an important group and a justifiable group, then you're going to have to put other people's feet to the fire and stop fanning the flames of racism to get a point across.
Sir, let me stop you on that point. We're not fanning the flames of racism. We did not create the racial divide. The Kerner Commission tells you about that, sir. We are only analyzing a problem. Racism is prejudice plus power. The things that we're saying right now on this radio show from the new Black Panther Party, it's not going to stop a white man or a black man from getting a job or doing anything that they have to do. Stop saying that that's racism because we're talking about the issues concerning our community.
Well,
we are just as concerned about what goes on in our community as you would be concerned about if it was happening in your community. Why would that be racism if it happened in the white community?
Well,
would it be racism?
I'll tell you exactly what I mean by that. Listen to the audio today. That talks about the raising of $1 million. And I just say, take the words for what they are, and you respond to me, whether or not that is the platform of the new Black Panther Party or whether or not this gentleman misspoke.
Go right ahead.
The money is going to come from the black community. We're already getting support from athletes and entertainers as we speak. By next week, we're looking forward to getting $1 million for the capture of George Zimmerman. We're going to force our government to do their job properly, and if they don't, we will. It is a very troubling time in the United States of America. We are in the era of so-called post-racial harmony with all people, but black people are being murdered all over America, and we get the same treatment time and time again. So we're saying to President Obama, you got to do your job on this one, buddy. We don't need a beer. We don't need to laugh and have a good time. Our children are dying. And so, white America, we have given you 400 years to get it right, and you still have failed black people. We're not even citizens in this country. We're still third-class citizens. And so today, as black men, we must stand up in America. We must declare to white America, time is up for you. No longer can you kill black children and get away with it. We no longer going to take the words of no good Bill Lee. We don't care who is the sheriff. The city of Sanford's police department has a track record of abusing their power, killing innocent black men and women, police brutality, and nothing has ever been done about it in this city. So we want concrete results.
Okay, your response to that, if this isn't racial?
He said we're in a so-called post-racial society.
He segregated himself by referring to a subsection or an alternate section of America when he used the words.
The question, sir, is does it exist? Is Mikhail Muhammad talking in a vacuum, or is he talking about something that exists and something that is real?
There is no such thing as white America.
Okay, well, I would say this, sir. If there was no such thing as white America, then what you have in terms of the U.S. Constitution and what we have in terms of the U.S. Constitution, it doesn't mean anything. The reason why you have to have a U.S. Constitution is because when the 13 colonies were being developed, it was during a time of segregation, during a time of racism, during a time of prejudice. And that is why we had to be allowed certain rights according to your law, your standards.
Yes, actually,
we were given
the Constitution,
certain rights. So if there was no white America, why would we have to have a 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, sir?
Mr. Qualley, you're absolutely right. In fact, the reason why the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment exists is because according to its own Constitution, in order to its own Constitution, which is why the Constitution had to be amended, was because in order to stand on its ground as a legal constitution, every man, woman, and child must have the inalienable right to live free and have the pursuit of happiness. The bottom line is that you're saying, in essence, at the time that you're talking about a segregated South, we're talking about slavery in the South, you're talking about a constitution on a level you have no idea. What you're saying is the reason why the 13th Amendment comes around is because someone had to change the Constitution. Of course it did. The Constitution had to change itself because
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, in answer to your question, you said there was no such thing, or there's no such thing as a white America. I said, sir, you're wrong. It's absolutely a such thing as white America. That is why the United States takes statistics. That is why they take statistics, sir. What are you talking about?
Statistics have nothing to do with what is and what isn't America.
Okay.
I'll say this.
In your worldview, that's your worldview.
I don't believe it's a worldview. I think that facts suggest that. But let me look at it this way. Every person in this country, every person, regardless of race, regardless of sexual orientation, okay, regardless of background or religion, everyone wants one thing in these United States, and that is to prosper, no matter who it is that you are. And if you're going to tell me that that is segregated through race, Mr. Qualley, you're 100% wrong.
Well, then you talk to me about the disparities in sentencing. You talk to me about the disparities on death row.
Because that's a behavior.
Two things cannot occupy the same space and time. Especially in a capitalist society, in order for one to prosper, you're standing on the back or on the neck of some few. That's why we are never in a class situation, sir.
We're never going to agree, Mr. Qualley. We're never, ever going to agree there. You're absolutely right. As far as this is concerned, you and I are having an ideological difference here.
Yes, sir.
What I would implore, and the reason why I had you on, and I really, 100%, regardless of how debated this is, and I want to thank you for a spirited conversation with me. I knew it was going to be. I wasn't apprehensive. I was nervous because I know this was going to be charged. And I'm so glad that you made it that way because you have your strong opinions, and I respect them. You have every right to feel them as an American citizen, and I will always respect one's views no matter how much I agree or disagree with them. So let me make sure that I say to you, I 100% appreciate you coming on my show, expressing those. We here agree, as every one of my members, from JC the producer, Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, who probably agrees with you 100%, and Mary, we all believe that Trayvon Martin deserves the justice that any human being deserves in this case, and that is a full investigation that comes to finding out what really happened. We also agree with you that the Sanford Police Department dragged its feet, dropped the ball, and completely destroyed this case.
Yes, sir. They
did not do their job. Whether or not it was based on race, I will not make that determination. If others want to, that's fine. If your group wants to, that's also fine. But I will tell you, yes, the Sanford Police Department in Florida, they completely mucked this up. And justice has to come for Trayvon in the essence of having a full investigation to find out what truly happen. But I
got to ask. That's what's most important. That right there is outside of everything, because the major thing has been this talk about the citizens' arrest and all of this. And I want to be clear that if Sanford had done his job, and if those in charge, the local authorities, had done their job, we would not even be having this conversation. At least investigate the facts. At least charge the man. If the man is innocent, then let the man go free. But we can't even have that conversation because there's some injustice. There's obviously some injustice going on that we want resolved.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly there. I think at the core of this, you and I agree that Trayvon Martin's death was not treated as a full investigation, and the ball was just dropped sloppily by this police department, and it's got to be done. But they've got to stop fanning. I'm not saying you in particular, or even your group for that matter, the fanning the flames of racism or racially making this tinged is missing the point. And Mary said this beautifully earlier in the show. A young unarmed boy was shot and killed.
Black male. I have to be clear. With all due respect to you, sir. I have to be clear because for us in our community, this happens far too often. I can't speak for your community, but for our community,
this happens far too often.
When you're talking about Oscar Graham, when you're talking about a Sean Bell, when you're talking about any of these incidents that affect us and cause us deep pain, and especially for his family who's feeling such a hard loss right now, this happens too much. So that's why I put that emphasis, not to necessarily drive a wedge or to even, as you say, fan the flames. I put the emphasis because this is our community and it happens too much too often.
But, Mr. Qualley, this should be an issue in anybody's community.
It should be.
We are in essence all of the human race. We all were brought here by the same
Creator.
By the same creator. And we are all going to be taken by the same creator, regardless of what the color of your skin is. And I think that it is sad that this much, that it would have to go to this point to get the media attention that it has gotten. I understand why it had to happen, but it is sad as a human being to see it have to go to that point in order to get attention, because it should have gotten attention regardless whether this was a black kid, a white kid, a Latino kid, anyone. The point is, this 17-year-old young man is never going to see the day of light or breathe air again, and his family is feeling
They're grieving.
I
agree 100%. I would say this, and this is why I make the emphasis. I make the emphasis because we have to be honest with ourselves. If this had happened in any other community, you would have seen an immediate, at least, indictment. Okay, and so that's why I'm saying it happens to us too much too soon. And for us to talk humanity, if we're going to talk humanity, then hell, we got to talk about the black humanity. Talk about us as a people, because that's what we know. That's who we are. And so it's when we talk about our blackness and we're proud of our blackness and our accomplishments as a people, it's not to put down anybody else. I'm sorry if people feel like that. It's not
anybody
else.
I understand.
It's about being proud of who we are.
We're on the phone with Sean Qualley, the spokesperson for the new Black Panther Party. I just want to make sure that anybody who's joining us late knows who you are. And again, Mr. Qualley, I appreciate you spending so much time with us. Let me ask you this. I know you've mentioned it. I don't want to nitpick about every little story that goes on, but there are stories. In fact, JC, the producer, just let me know there's another story about a kid who was shot by two black security guards. And the young man was an African-American in Georgia. There was no arrest for the two black security guards. He was gunned down by a security guard. So it's not like this just happens in quote-unquote racially. Like, this isn't...
I never said that.
I know you never did. I'm just saying that there are plenty of cases. When I find a dire situation to deal with, I want them to all be put in the proper perspective. And in this case, I don't want people to have the race thing run amok to the point that we forget that this young man died. It isn't about his race. It's about someone making the stupidest decision the stupidest decision to judge Trayvon, or he was overzealous or whatever it was, and got into a confrontation. And this boy, this was a guy who had no right to be out there accosting, stopping, intervening with Trayvon Martin coming back from the store.
I think that you're giving George Zimmerman too much credit. It's already being debated right now, at least in the public circle, whether he said these effing coons in his talk to the dispatch.
Yeah,
we have to look at him saying that these assholes always get away. Pardon me if I can't use that language on your show.
Right. We normally don't. Thank you though.
but I mean, we have to look at the facts. The facts is that regardless of how humanitarian we want to make the situation, by all appearances was motivated by race. So again, it has nothing to do with the new Black Panther Party's involvement making it a racial situation. It was already a racial situation. We're saying that we're demanding justice to ensure that him, who Trayvon Martin, who cannot speak for himself, and his family, and for the future avoidable Trayvon Martin, that they receive the justice that they need to have. That's what we're saying, and we're standing on that. And so if it takes us to organize 5,000 black men to make sure that Trayvon Martin receives the justice that he needs to receive, then so be it.
Well, thank you for that. James, did you want to ask a question before we let Mr. Wally
go?
I
didn't want to ask a question. I wanted to make a comment, especially on your earlier statement that the notion of white America doesn't exist.
Okay, well, James, before you even go there, let's argue it. Let's let Mr. Qualley go.
I'd like to stick around. Why do you want to let Qualley go? Such a strong point.
I understood that you had a busy schedule. If you'd like to stick around,
fine. But don't dismiss me on that strong point. I want to hear what the man got to say.
Well, there you go, James. Then continue.
All right. Well, how can you say that notion doesn't exist? Look at what's already happened. All right. Now, I understand where you and Mary are coming from and how it's supposed to be a humanitarian issue. But it just tends to happen more and more in our community to us. And it never even gets the credit that it's due. This man stalked and murdered a child, and he got a pat on the back and sent home.
That's just
the security guard that you were just talking about. You said there was no investigation. Sure, when young blacks die, it doesn't even get investigated.
I'm glad that you said that.
Oh, well, you know what? They're killing each other, too. We don't care.
James,
they don't care. Let it go.
May I? Let me
James,
say this.
James made a strong point.
Well, he does, and I'd like to respond. And Mr. Qualley, I'd like you to respond to this, because I will say this. You know, when and I'm going to go in a roundabout way, but listen to what it is that I'm saying. We often say, James, and I've known James for, 30 years. James and I know. James does not like to be pigeonholed because of the color of his skin, right? He doesn't like that. And no one does. When Muslims flew into the World Trade Center, people argued in America, you can't blanket all Muslims for the actions of 11. Because you got robbed by a black guy doesn't mean that all black people rob. We're not going to take this incident between George Zimmerman, the Sanford Police Department, and Trayvon Martin and now make it a quote-unquote white America issue. We can't. Because, again, what we are doing is exactly what we don't want being done to other people. We are not going to make a blank statement about racism and whites or anybody in America.
We're not making a blanket statement.
Sure
we're speaking from personal experience or personal or historical pain and experience.
But how does personal experience change
personal,
the fact that
personal
no, no, no,
or
no.
historical? We say
well,
personal
fine.
Or
take,
historical.
You can take historical situations, but then I would make the argument all day. Does that mean if 99 people were in 100 people were in the world and 5 of them were not racist, does that mean that every white person is a racist? No, because those 5 white people who aren't racist do not want to be blanketed in with a large group of people. They want to be acknowledged individually. And
that's
so what
fine,
I'm saying
but
is,
guess what? When you have a system of order, let me just be frank, a system of order or a power structure that was built on racism, built on prejudice, built on injustice,
And then the future generations that come up in that power structure and what the colleges call white privilege, they come up in that power structure and they reap benefit solely because they have white skin or because they are light. That even if a person wants to be an individual in that society, if they are not working every day, 24/7, viciously to dismantle that racist system, they are just as they are just as involved with the system as the racist you're saying you're trying not to be like. So we can't say just because I'm an individual, I don't have nothing to do with what my forefathers did or nothing to do with this or that, because you're the beneficiary, sir. You're the beneficiary, just like Trayvon Martin was the beneficiary of what apparently George Zimmerman saw some other black youth or somebody else in his mind do. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't separate yourself like that. Okay. You have to separate yourself by actively organizing and working to dismantle white supremacy and dismantle the power structure that was built by your forefathers and foremothers on injustice.
You brought up white supremacy. You're talking about.
I mean, that's what it was built on, sir. That's exactly what this establishment was built on.
Wait a minute. So the efforts of white men to abolish slavery, that holds no credence with you whatsoever.
You have to look at the motive as to why it was emancipated. You have to look at the motive. The motive behind Abraham Lincoln emancipating the slaves was to keep the colony together. It wasn't because he wanted to see us free. And then even after that happened, we were still on the plantation, sir.
There's no truth. Wait. There's no truth to that.
You have to do your research.
I'm gonna tell James
to give you a couple of facts, and James will let you
James
have
actually
it.
No, James is a novice in this area, and I'm a
whoa. Scholar.
Yes, he is, because anybody yes. knows that Frederick Douglass.
I wouldn't take it if I was you, James.
Well, don't incite him, Mr. Qualley. Again,
okay, we got to make James stand up. How are you going to tell James? James is a novice. You don't know what James knows.
I'm doing myself.
Well, let me be
very
first.
And trust
James,
me,
hold
trust
on.
Trust me.
James, for a second. I have to tell Mr. Qualley something. Mr. Qualley, and just to let everyone know, again, if you're just joining us, we're on the phone with Sean Qualley, a spokesman for the new Black Panther Party, and I appreciate, again, you sticking around even longer. I'm African-American, Mr. Qualley.
Well, good for you.
I'm not an original man. I'm not white. And I'm definitely in no way whatsoever do I fall for what they call the plantation ideology. I know my history and I know it well. There will be no one who tells me who Abraham Lincoln is. There will be no one who tells me who Frederick Douglass is, even my good friend James Montgomery. The reason why.
Certain parts of history may speak differently to that.
Certain parts of history may speak differently to that. Well, actually, again, as I always repeat myself, I never ever open my mouth unless I want to spew facts.
You're telling me that Abraham Lincoln had no vested interest in keeping the colony together when he emancipated slaves. Now back
that
up
would,
with
it
your
would
facts.
It would be ridiculous if he did not. But
all right
the
then. So you make my point.
But the sole purpose in 1854 to form the Republican Party was to abolish slavery. And don't forget, it was also tried by Thomas.
The Republican Party, sir, at that time was predominantly black.
No kidding.
Okay, So what does that have to do with what you're saying?
Again, I'm trying to make a valid point here. My point was that Abraham Lincoln, the first candidate of the Republican Party, who won the election, and his sole idea, remember, he went to war to abolish slavery. Yes, that's right. This interpretation that he was trying to join. How are you going to join a union when you have an entire South of the Mason-Dixon line that's willing to die to keep indentured servants? When you have the man who killed him, John Wilkes Booth, a ardent supporter of keeping the black man as a servant. I mean, read any form of history other than what I call the black man's Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson's plantation version of the truth. I know what the truth is about African Americans and our history within this country. Do a little research.
That's really disrespectful to Al Sharpton.
Do a little history.
You would not say the same thing to McCubbin T. Owens.
McCubbin T. Owens
wrote a book called Abraham Lincoln, Save the Union, but did he really free the slaves? You wouldn't have said that about him. You wouldn't have said
Absolutely.
It about others.
Yeah, I would have asked him to read Booker T. Washington, a man who sold black votes in order to vote in Democrats in the South.
So let me ask you one simple question on this show. After the war was fought, was there still slavery?
Of course there was.
All right, then. So what's the point that you're making, sir? Blacks were still not free.
I'm not disputing that. But what you're
what
saying...
What are you disputing? What are you disputing, sir?
I'm disputing your interpretation of Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. All right.
That's fine.
Go right ahead.
I'm disputing your interpretation of not only Abraham Lincoln, but I'm also disputing your interpretation of African Americans who were involved with Abraham Lincoln, like the great Frederick Douglass. Unless you're going to call him an
unfathomable. I never gave an interpretation on Frederick Douglass.
Oh, well, Frederick Douglass was a what? Was a what to Abraham Lincoln? He was an advisor. And probably
and John Hanson was an advisor to George Washington. What's your point?
Well, we're not talking George Washington here.
Well, I mean,
we're
I'm
talking,
saying, what is,
we're
I'm
talking
trying
Abraham
to get to the
Lincoln.
Point, though.
I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln and the interpretation you gave of the Republican Party and slavery during
that
the
is,
years.
You already said, sir, factually, slavery still existed well after the Emancipation Proclamation.
Also, let me ask you this, then. Did Abraham Lincoln ever give any black people 40 acres and a mule?
Come on, sir. We went through a whole Reconstruction period.
Well, I'm going to ask you
the whole Reconstruction period. So, I know we're not, for the listeners on the show, I know we're not here to argue American history, but I'm just trying to...
Did African Americans receive 40 acres and a mule under Abraham Lincoln?
We are still waiting on 40 acres and a mule.
The answer is yes. Do you know who...
We're still waiting because due to Black Wall Street and some others, all of that was taken, sir.
Well, no. Black Wall Street took place
that,
in 19...
That was further down the line. That was further down the line. All I'm saying is blacks, the land that many blacks had, they lost.
Mr. Qualley, let me prove to you that I know my history. Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1921. It's where the Gap Band gets their name.
I just said it was further down the line, sir.
That's right.
The point that I'm making is that most of the land that blacks had coming out of Reconstruction, post-Reconstruction, they lost the land due to gentrification. The land was taken from them because they were considered not human, unhuman.
That's right.
Under
Andrew Johnson, the vice president to Abraham Lincoln, after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, Andrew Johnson, a Democrat. Vice president of the United States.
Again, like I said, so it goes back to my original point that you cannot take race from the court. You can't take race from the
Exactly,
race.
But your white supremacists have been had a foothold on the African-American community in this country
and still do, sir.
That's right. So if you want to educate African Americans, tell them to get off the Democrat plantation.
There's nobody from the New Black Panther Party that's telling anybody in our community to be in the Democrat lap or be on the nipple of the Democratic Party. We're not saying that.
Well, if you know the history
of the New Black Panther Party, we're saying that we should have our own political party.
What political party should that be, Mr. Qualley, before we go?
It should be like it was in 1964 in the Kwame Ture, a Black Panther Party.
Oh. Well, okay. Well, I can understand that. From your point of view, I can completely...
How about that? Do you know the history of the Lowndes County Freedom Organization, sir?
Yes, I do. So why
do you have a problem with a Black Panther Party?
Here's why. There are only 38 million African Americans in this country, and there are 211 million whites in this country. If you want to segregate this country based on race, the African Americans lose.
That's not the platform. You're not standing on the platform of the New Black Panther Party and talking about a political machine. That's not what we're saying. It's not driven by segregating race. The races are already segregated, sir. Well, I'm in a class situation.
The race is segregated by those who do nothing more than pontificate and exacerbate the differences between each and every one of us while screaming for equality, Mr. Qualley.
I don't know how true that is. I would say that it's about the powerful versus the powerless.
No,
it's
well, again,
about the powerful versus the powerless, the landlord versus the landless.
No. He's anti-capitalism, and I understand that. Go ahead.
Okay, if that you're talking about the landlord and the landless.
Yes.
That to me is more of a financial
class issue.
Than it is a race issue.
Well, he's saying it's both.
Because
Mr. Qualley, you can respond.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm letting her finish her point. I'll go right in.
I guess I want you to clarify what you mean by that, because that is in no way, shape, or form a ethnic or ethnicity issue.
Well,
that's a financial class issue.
He believes that more whites have power and have property than those who are minority groups in this country.
At this stage, that is true. Am I making a false statement, though?
Well, no, because the numbers support it. As I suggested to you earlier, there were 211 million whites versus 38 to 40 million blacks. So
right.
Who do you think's going to have more property?
The numbers are overwhelming. But taking it back to the original point of this topic, the original point was which we were talking about Abraham Lincoln in the post-Reconstruction era. And if blacks were considered human beings, as you say they were, then everything should have been equal down the line. It should have continued equal down the line, sir. And in fact, many of the blacks that you speak of after Abraham Lincoln were driven from their land by Ku Klux Klan and other white supremacists. I know what I'm saying.
And again, another faction of the Democratic Party who they still seem to be aligned with 95%. This is the part I'm trying
to make. So you're telling me that there were no Republican Ku Klux Klan? That's a foul.
But again, I'll make the argument. If you know that the Ku Klux Klan is the terrorist arm of the Democratic Party in the segregated South, that's why they were called Dixiecrats, Mr. Qualley. That's why they were called Dixiecrats. George Wallace.
I didn't argue that. I'm talking about the whole paradigm has shifted, sir. The whole paradigm at that time, the Republican Party was predominantly black, and now the Republican Party today is predominantly white. The whole paradigm has shifted.
Because African Americans left the Republican Party in the 60s in droves and joined the Democrats. Why? Because of a socialist agenda. The New Deal was specifically this: let's give people stuff from the government, and that I don't know how or why, but for some odd reason, people, instead of wanting to make their own money, decided that they wanted something for nothing. Change the dynamic of the African American community, and here's where we are.
Well, you can't blame that solely on the black community.
I don't blame it on it. I think I'd blame it on the shiftlessness and the connivingness of a Democratic Party that abused and disgraced our race and did everything to marginalize it and destroy it, and is now doing everything to do so with every one of its policies. But you and I will agree to disagree, and I just want to thank you again because we got to go. The show's almost over. Sean Qualley, spokesman for the new Black Panther Party, thank you for spending the hour with us, man. This has been intense for me, so I really appreciate it. It's been spirited.
I do want to thank everybody involved with your show, and I thank you as well, sir, for having me on. And I would say to everybody in the audience that regardless to what happens there in Sanford, regardless to what happens, remember young Trayvon Martin. Remember him and remember the lesson of Trayvon Martin, that regardless to where you are in the world, unfortunately, right now, until there is a revolutionary change, you better be careful where you go.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with that, because there are some people out there who are going to judge you based upon the color of your skin or the way that you look. I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Again, Sean Qualley, spokesperson for the new Black Panther Party, we thank you for your time, man, and thank you again for calling in. And as this develops, can you come back on?
All right, just get back in touch with us.
I definitely will. Thank you again for your time. Again,
all right. Thank you. Black power to black people and power to the people.
Thank you, sir. Sean Qualley, spokesman for the new Black Panther Party. Thank each and every one of you for joining us today. If you'd like, go on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. We'll post this up. But, of course, you can go right here to BlogTalkRadio.com, and you can re-listen to the interview for yourself. If you got some comments or questions, send them to ReeseOnTheRadio@Yahoo.com. Thank you guys for your time, and thank you for tuning in. We're back. We're on at 8 o'clock till 10, 2 hours of some of the most entertaining radio I think is about to happen. All right, for JC the producer, Mary Mary, why you bugging? And, of course, Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery. I'm Reese on the radio. We love you, and we will see you mañana.